is Pecan Grove. Yes, there they are. Hello, my friends. Oh, a kindred spirit. You need to work on the beard, man. You need to work on the beard. Looking good, looking good. Pecan Grove, yes. Dot. ZZ Top. They told me some smart aleck out there said Duck Dynasty. They're just pretenders, not contenders. This is a beard, man. This is a beard. I'm so glad to see you, Pecan Grove. Yeah. Where are those pecans? I looked for the pecans. I saw no pecans. Did anybody make a pecan pie today? Pecan pie? There it is. Thank you. Thank you. Very good. We can always count on someone from Pecan Grove to make pecan pie. That is very, very good. Thank you. My friends in Palestine have told me so much about you. They sent me. I am a king, better known as a wise man. Where is John? John. My friend Zechariah, I feel so bad. He gave you such a hard time about that flame-colored chariot out there. Don't worry about him. I talked to him later. He was just jealous. I let you all in on a little secret. He bought one. Oh, he's a maniac with that thing. Zoom, 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 zoom all around. He almost injured my camel the other day. He rolls down the window of the car and says, "Hey, 400 horsepower beats one camel any day." He's not a wise man. He's a wise guy. There's a difference. Now, he got a Corvette. I got an iPhone. I think I got the better of the deal. Better to have the book of the story on an iPhone nowadays, those old-fashioned things. These are very good. So good to be with you. They tell me you are very hospitable here, even to people who talk funny and who dress funny. You guys certainly do look funny and talk funny. It's okay. We're all in this together. We can all love each other. As I said, I am called a wise man. Very complimentary term. People choose complimentary ways to refer to themselves, right? Richard the Lionhearted. Do you think he would have asked to have been called Richard the Chickenhearted? Alexander the Great. What, they're going to call him Alexander the Average? It just doesn't go over near as well. But to be called a wise man, that is important. That is important. Would you like to hear my story? I have a story. My life has been an interesting one. I want to tell you about it. My name is Gaspar. I have friends by the name of Belthazar and Melchior. Can you guess where we are from? Arabia. Very good guess. I am from Persia. You may not be able to tell by my accent. I use the same accent. So I said, works for Jews, works for Persians. It just works. We're going to go with it. Some people called us Magi. And I'm going along. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. There we go. I let you in on another secret. They didn't have these in ancient Persia. We're still learning these things, right? The reason we were called wise is that we were stargazers. Very impressive to be able to look at the sky and gaze at all the majesty and the beauty. On any given night, you can see many, many stars. Is this not correct? Yes. Do you like to look at the sky? Oh, so much fun. Out here in the country, you can actually see the stars. Things like that's very nice, very nice. We not only looked up and saw the stars, we named the stars. We named the constellations. We would name them after people. We would even name them after some of the gods of our gods and goddesses and things of this nature. And people believed that we had supernatural powers. Supernatural powers because we became very, very good at predicting the motions of the heavenly body. We were wise because they thought we're smart. We're very smart. In fact, we were so smart that only today are you discovering how smart we were. Washington Post, very recently here, discovered that we, from these cuneiform tablets, the way that we used to write things down, that we had a form of what you call calculus that we could use to predict the motion of the bodies up there. So we not only looked at the stars, we could calculate things. We had mathematical skills, all of those kinds of things. Very, very impressive. Very, very impressive. But I tell you something else that's very impressive. We had contact with the children of Israel hundreds of years before when we took them into captivity back in the day. See, we were a world power. Very much a world power. We conquered people, you see. And while they were with us, people like Daniel and so many others, we found their writings of their scriptures very, very interesting. One of them we noticed was in what you would call today Numbers 24 and verse 17. I see him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Now, what do you think got our attention there? A star! That's right up our alley, right? We love to look at the stars. This star seemed to predict something here. A scepter, a ruler. We were very impressed with this, because the God of the children of Israel performed many miracles, many signs and wonders during their time with us. We were very impressed with this. And so if a great king was to come out of these people, we wanted to know of it. We noticed another scripture in Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go out from me to be ruler in Israel. So we saw some signs here. And so we began to continue to look at the stars. To look at the stars. And one night, we noticed something. There was a big star up there. And it was a star where it wasn't supposed to be. See, we know the stars. If we knew anything, we knew the stars. We could track the motion. We had the calculus. We had all the fancy, fancy stuff. But here was a star where in the east where it wasn't supposed to be. And we remembered the prophecy. And my friends and I, we went to follow the star. Maybe the great king of this God of Israel was coming about. We wanted to see it. People referred to us as kings because they were so impressed with us. If there was a king of this magnitude, we certainly wanted to know about it. So we traveled. We traveled many, many miles, and we came to Jerusalem. Hey, if there's going to be a king, where do you think he would be? Right? Jerusalem, that's where you look. And we found King Herod. And we inquired if anybody should know about the birth of a great king. Certainly Herod would know of it, but he did not know. But after consulting with his advisors, they said, he is to be born in Bethlehem. And we remembered the scripture, Bethlehem, in the book of Micah. And Herod said to us, we would like to worship this king also. When you find the king, tell us where he is, that we may worship him too. And we said, sure, Herod. We can do that. We kings must stick together, right? That sounds like a reasonable request. So we went on, and we found him. This was so impressive. We've watched the stars all of our life. This particular star seemed to stop and just hover over a place where we went in, and we found the child king. And of course, we do what you do when you find a king. You offer the king what? Presents. Yes. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Some of the most valuable things we possessed, we gave to this child king. It was an exciting time. It was so exciting. We couldn't wait. We couldn't wait to get back and tell Herod. But it was late. It was a 6-mile journey back to Jerusalem. So we took shelter for the lot night. And that night, something very interesting happened. I had a dream. And the dream, the messenger in the dream told me, do not return to Herod. Go back to your native land. I got up that morning wondering if I had maybe just eaten some bad pizza. Sometimes you don't know about dreams, right? Yeah. The strangest thing, my two friends had exactly the same dream. Melchior, you are telling me the same thing? Yes. Belteshazzar, the same dream? Well, we had different room service that night. We couldn't blame the pizza. We decided to be obedient to the heavenly vision, and we began the long trek back home, all the time seeking the messenger once again. Perhaps the messenger will tell us, what happens to this child king? What occurs there? We knew we had witnessed something special, but we continued our work. But years later, we heard tales of a man who had come to our country, and he was proclaiming a good news of God's kingdom. And we sought this man out, and we found him. And do you know the man's name? It was Thomas. And we said, Thomas, please tell us of this good news of God's kingdom. He was from that same part of the world, from Palestine. And he said, yes, I was a student. I was a disciple of this individual by the name of Yeshua. We all looked at each other in amazement. That was the child king's name. It was Yeshua. Tell us about this Yeshua. This was years later. Surely this Yeshua had grown, had now ascended to the throne, was now exerting his leadership over this country. He said, this is an amazing story. As this child king grew up, he began a ministry among the people. He did many marvelous things. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He delivered the oppressed from demons. He taught that God's kingdom was now here. God was becoming king. We must go and visit this king. He said, the king was crucified. His ministry cut short. And we were so sad. Said, surely a man doing all of these wondrous things and has the presence of God with us, surely no one could kill him. He said, Thomas said, you are right. They crucified him, but 3 days later, we saw him. I said, what? People do not come back from the dead. Especially crucifixions. No one's better at killing people, at executing people than the Romans. They excelled even more so than we. Thomas said, I was skeptical too. I approached him and I said, Lord, I will not believe unless I can put my fingers in the nail prints in your hands. And Yeshua said, do it. Put your fingers there. Now stop doubting and believe. At that point, something came over us. We can't begin to explain it, but it was a sense of peace. Could it be true that we don't have to fear death? Could it be true that this King of Israel is the rightful king of the entire world? Thomas explained to us that Jesus' death not only delivered them, but all humanity from their sins, and that we could now live with peace with God and each other as a result of Yeshua's death. Some call him Jesus. Some call him Yeshua. But it's the same marvelous Son of God. But how will this work, we ask? Thomas explained that after Jesus appeared again, he ascended to heaven to be back with the Father. But before he did, said, go and wait, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. This very life of God would be with them and empower them to be agents that usher in God's new world, that usher in God's kingdom. That very same life of God is now available to each one of us. And we believed. And Thomas immersed us in water. And we felt also the baptism and immersion of the Holy Spirit, the life of God, the presence of God coming among us, all because of this Jesus. They called me wise, but I realized years before I was not a wise man. Thomas shared with us that James, the brother of Jesus, stated, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Our search, our journey for this child king, was our way of pursuing wisdom. And we learned that that's exactly what it was, that when we found this child king, we had found wisdom, because wisdom is found in the presence of God. And let me underscore to you this morning, the very same thing is true of each one of you. Do you know why? Jesus is here. Jesus is here right now. The presence of God is here in the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Today, you are in the presence of God. See, I was once considered wise, but now I realize that the awesome creator of the universe, creator of all those stars that we gazed at, has pitched his tent with us. has come to live with us. See, we spent our life reaching for the stars. But now I realized God has reached down to us. And now we live with Him. We enjoy His presence. We have a relationship second to none. That is what it's like to be wise. And so I share this with you today, a poem by my good friend Naomi Fata. In the presence of the King, I climb the mountain. My heart soars, touching heaven. My chains are broken. I've been set free to dance in the presence of my King. Uninhibited, unconstrained, singing His praises. Free to dance, free to sing. I have been set free in the glory of my King. Tears run down. I am undone that this holy God speaks to me, that He would show Himself to me, His presence. During this season, remind your family, remind your friends, remind everyone year-long that the Christ, that in this Christ child, we have seen the glory of God. Would you repeat it with me, that last line? I have seen the glory of God. Praise Him! Let's get ready to sing a song. If you have not known the presence of God, come be baptized into the One who has brought us into His presence and into a love greater than the world has ever known. His kingdom has come. His will be done on earth as it's already being done in heaven. Come while we sing. Come!